How wonderful it is, you know, when the people of God come together. I must say, the worship this morning, almost every Sunday, is fantastic. But I love it when it's not just jingles we're singing. It's actually scripture we're singing. It's truth. It's the gospel we're singing. Because that, as much as the word preaches, it speaks to our heart. And I think you'll do very well to open your hearts during worship and just ask God, speak to me, convict me. Holy Spirit, fall upon me. Even in times of just worshiping and loving him. My heart's quite tender, so I'm going to ask Berna to come and read this scripture, the parable of the 10 virgins. And I'm going to ask that you stand while this is read, because this is the word of God. Get a dog.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil with them in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding. The doors were shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of God is like a man." Okay, sorry, just there. "Watch therefore, for you know neither whether the day nor hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I love it when we stand. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, every word of God is God-breathed. It's like God speaking those words to us. That's why I like it when we stand and we say, "Wow, the God of heaven is speaking to us." So let's try and unpack this. I had a week or so to ponder about this and meditate, and I love it, and maybe this will be helpful to you if you see how do we unpack the Word of God. How do we get the message? How do we hear what he's saying? Because sometimes we just read through it now, we've done our duty. But if it's God speaking, there's power in it, there's spirit in it, there's truth in it, there's life in it. And if that's the case, then it changes, it transforms us. So I'm saying, what do you see is the message of this parable? What is Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, what is he trying to say to us? Is he telling us to carry extra oil? Is this a lesson in endurance? Don't get tired, don't fall asleep. Is this a message which I kind of starkly spoke to me? Why do these wise not want to share the oil. It's kind of a little bit selfish, I thought. What is the message? Or is the message that we should keep on watching? Keep on being alert? Or is the message, ultimately, the end of it, do you know the Lord? Does he know you? If you come knocking when the door's shut, is he going to say to us, I don't know you. I never knew you. For me, there's amazing truths in this. Is there a message about the second coming, the coming of the bridegroom is upon us? You must be ready. Is it a message to you, to me? We need to be expectant all the time. All the time. We can't let go. Or is it a warning not to be foolish, to think you can do it on your own? There's such a lot of things. And I want to say, sometimes we can overanalyze a parable. Because a parable normally just gives one or two strong messages, what Jesus explained to help us understand it. He doesn't, in that parable, is not the whole story of the kingdom. Somebody came to me and says, I don't understand this parable because there's the 10 virgins and there's the bridegroom. Where's the bride? Who's the bride then? And this guy tried to build a whole theology about the fact that there's different levels in the kingdom and there are some who are the bride, but some are just invited. That's not what this parable is saying. Parable is talking about virgins and in God, in biblical terms, that are those who have set their hearts. They want to be invited. They want to walk with God. They want to be pure. They don't want to be contaminated by the world. They want to be virgins. But some are foolish and some are wise. And let's try and see. The question I have is, who's the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? And you know, there's many scriptures that tell us that, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I don't think I've got it on there. He says, I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. We talked on Thursday. For those of you who are not on the DNA, you're missing something. You missed a good place, sir. No. if you have said yes to Jesus at one stage, the world is going to come and try and make a claim on you. It's like somebody betrothed. She said yes to this one young man and they're going to get married and the others are trying as well. But when they do, she just holds up a ring and says, hey, I've been spoken for. I belong somewhere else. I am betrothed. We are not there yet, but I'm sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go. And that's what it is. Those are the virgins. What are the wise virgins? How many of you would say, well, I'm one of those wise ones? Huh? They believe in the bridegroom. They expect the wedding feast. They actually know this world is not it. There's a future. There's a feast. There's a return of the bridegroom. He's going to come. And they prepared and they're always ready. But they also knew they need to take extra oil. And that's where the foolish ones failed so much. The wise one took extra flasks. You had vessels or something in the other translation. just in case we're running empty. Friends, let me not begin to apply this. I'm just trying to unpack this. Who are the foolish virgins? Were they believers at all? Because in the end, they seem to be refused entrance, but they are called virgins. I'm asking these questions. Perhaps they had an early excitement. They said yes, like that parable of the seed falling on different soils, and some seeds fall on the rocky soil, and immediately there's joy, they accept it. But then the sun comes, and the roots are very shallow because it's rocky, and they just die after a while. Maybe those are the foolish ones. Maybe those are the foolish ones are the ones that if I want something, I want it now. I pray for a healing. Yes, I believe in God. Person doesn't get healed. I don't believe anymore. I want a breakthrough. I want this. I want it now. And it doesn't always happen like that. How many of you know? God always answers questions or our entreatment, but he's got three answers. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says, not now. When you're ready. And there's a lesson in endurance that the true virgin, the wise virgin must get, or the foolish ones must get. Was it perhaps because they said yes, but after a while the pressures of life, the culture, the difference they see, but you know, these people don't even serve God. Look at how well it's going with them. Why am I not experiencing that same blessing? And they just drift away. They say, oh, well, this thing. Like one lady said to me, if that's the kingdom, then no thanks. Somebody been telling that to you? We like it, but we like it now. Otherwise, I don't want it. I want it my way. But he's God. Oh, I love these songs this morning. And the disciples couldn't believe this man. He's tired like a man lying in the boat. When they woke him up, he commands the wind and the storm to quiet down. He says, who is this? Who is this man? The wind and the waves obey his voice. I don't know. I think there's a test for us as Christians on enduring, but not just grin and bear it. Enduring with faith, enduring with expectation. In such a way that if I wake you in the middle of the night, you're ready. You're ready. Because you've got extra oil. You've got an anointing. You've got the Holy Spirit with you. I'm running ahead of you. Is it that the deceitfulness of riches distract us? Why does the Bible calls riches deceitful? I tell you what, I've spoken to one man once. This is years ago, but he was successful and he was going on. And I said, that would worry me because I see you are not serving God. I think sometimes God uses wealth to speak to us. But if he just lets you go on and enjoy the deceitfulness of life, and somehow your life has no meaning, where is it going to end? Have they, these foolish virgins, have they grown weary in striving for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which No one will see God. This is Hebrews 12, verse 12. He says, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see God. I think there's a message here for us. That they just neglect abiding in Christ. Well, I'm a Christian now, so why not? I'm fine. But no, there's a licentiousness that I think has come into the general church world. Sometimes we say the church, but we could use scripture language, because we're talking about virgins. But there are some foolish, and there are some wise. And I feel God is speaking to us in this chapter. Who is, which one am I? Amen? Or were they just thinking they can make it on their own? They thought, well, I'm saved. I can make it. I've said yes to Jesus. But you know, with the word, with your faith, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you need it every day. We need it every day. Now, there's a guy that Michael Eaton. He said, today there are more Bibles, more good Christian literature in the world than there ever has been. But Christians in general are less literate and less knowledge about the Bible and about the gospel than it's ever been in the history of the world. Because there was a time when you're a Christian, that's what it means. You're walking with God, you're in the Word, you are a disciple, you love Him, you study His Word. You ask for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. I remember, maybe today I'm speaking as an old man. I remember when I was 10 years old, that's in 1960, by the way, nobody told me to read the Bible. Nobody. My parents were Christians and so on. I just saw them doing it. I saw others doing it. And that's what I did. I started reading through the Bible when I was 10 years old. I skipped some of the, when I get to some of those genealogies and so on. I did, blah, 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 you know, that. But I wanted to read it. Well, what is this God? This one who calls the stars into being. What is He saying? Why did He die for me? And there's a purpose to this. Okay. That brings me to this thing, you know, I think we are the Bridge Church. And my wife and I are very, very blessed to be here. I tell you, we just feel so welcome. We just feel so part of you. And we have such a prayer almost every day. We pray for people. We pray for this church. We pray for God's purpose. We pray for this church to be a church of wise virgins. That's good. Who's going to live meaningful lives filled with the Holy Spirit, expecting the return in every day and being fruitful in their lives. Amen. To be what God wants to do. We're beginning to look at sites, land. We're beginning to look at buildings. Maybe God will help us. Maybe somehow it'll happen. Do we have money? No. But like that one guy said, do you know we've got the money? We've found all the money. However, it's still in your pockets. I don't know. God has sources of supply we don't even know about. And for me, it's not, can we do it? No, we can do nothing without it. But we can by His word and the faith in God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, this neighborhood, this city can be changed. Amen. I believe this nation can be changed by three people who truly believe God. Amen. I believe this city can be changed by people who say, I believe God. I find nothing in this life that excites me. And I'm not a negative, unbelieving man. I enjoy life. I really do. I think we need to enjoy life. But I know this life is temporary. This life is not what it's about. There's a vision before us. There's this man, Eric Metaxas, wrote a book called The Letter to the American Church. You'll do well to read that book. There's a wake-up call going out in the world today. There's a wake-up call saying, church, you've been asleep. The Western world, and I'm speaking generally now, it's probably not you. You guys are all awake. But the church in the West, the so-called Judeo-Christian Western civilization, has been caught asleep. People don't believe in God anymore. People don't believe in marriage anymore. We do same-sex marriages. We don't teach our children anymore. Our children go astray because people don't even believe in God anymore, let alone going to church. We're Christian, you know, we're it. And the Western world is going down fast. I found the other day when we took up an offering in a previous church, you know, in a nation like France, today there's 3,700 mosques being built and being erased. In Germany it's the same, in Austria it's the same, in Holland it's the same, in Belgium it's the same, in England it's the same. There's alternative faiths and alternative religion. And those who were actually the carriers of the gospel and the light, that light's gone out. But we saying, Father, not in my watch.
It's good, Kali.
Not in my watch. I'm telling you young people, man, every time I get excited when I see you. You're not too young to be used of God in a mighty way. I was very young and I started believing for great things. Many of it didn't happen, but I still believe. I still believe. And we should still believe. God can do a change in our time. God can use you and God can use me. And we can wake up. Amen. I was warned not to speak long. But that's something I normally don't hear. But here's the question. Are you hearing the message? The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. What was it? What's this going to sound like? What's it going to sound like to you, to me? Is it going to be a trumpet? It wakes us all up. Is it going to be angels knocking on your door? How are we going to hear it? In the book of Numbers, chapter 10, it talks about the silver trumpets that they made. And if it gives one long, blast is the word. My English fails me sometimes. One long blast, it's for the leaders. Two, it's for all the people. Staccato, it's, hey, rally, let's go. Pack up. God's moving us. Are we hearing the midnight cry? Some people said the COVID pandemic was one of the midnight cries to the church in the world. Do you remember those days? My wife and I were in the room in our house for I think 3 weeks first and then 6 weeks. And we started buying food for the neighbors because they didn't put their noses out of it. We went to do shopping for them and put it in the front door. And then because people were dead scared. There were no cars on the road. Do you remember those days? Amazing time. I don't know. Maybe that was God speaking to the world. Maybe it's just nonsense. I don't know. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a personal calamity. Maybe it's something that happens to us which we didn't want. But God, by His grace, is speaking to the church. I really do. I do believe it. We have been overtaken by the culture of the world. And I'm not speaking to you to accuse you. I'm just saying, in general, the church should be the light to the world. The church should change the world. But you know what's happening? The world is changing the church. This is wrong. But God is waking up. I believe there's a midnight cry going out. Young people, my son, I think I said this once or more. There's a revival amongst young people, the Gen Z, in America and in England. They're going back to libraries. They're saying no to social media. They're beginning to find that there's nothing of real interest in this world. And there's a revival that started in one university in America, Auburn University, 2 years ago. They had a prayer meeting that went on for weeks, never stopped, 24/7. And then it died. I thought it died, but my son tells me it went from one university to the other, to the other. There's like 17 universities in America now that there's just a revival going. There's prayer groups going. There's prayer runs and walking for Jesus all over the place. Because young people are beginning to seek reality. I think there's a revival coming. And man, may the bridge be a part of it. May this church be experienced. May we say there's nothing too much, too difficult for us. We will commit ourselves to what God wants to do. As I said, we can't take responsibility for other churches, but we can for this. And we can make a difference in our lifetime. Amen. Here's a thought, though, and this worried me. The wives could not afford to share their oil. At first I thought that is very selfish of them. They should have shared a little bit so we all can make it. But according to this verse, these verses, Jesus is saying, no, they can't. Did you know that I can pray for you, but I can't believe in your stead. I can read the Bible for me, but I can't read the Bible for you. I can do lots of things and try and spur you on and try and encourage you. And I think we should do that. But until the time when it is a personal thing to you, it's not real yet. It's just somebody else's faith that I'm trying to piggyback on. You and I, we need to come to that place where we realize we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and we need the Holy Spirit every day in our life. Very good. You missed a good place to say amen. So how do we keep watchful? I don't know. It seems like we all go through cycles, waves, whatever you want to call it. There are times that when I'm a bit tired, I just want to sit back and just see others doing it. Even the wise fell asleep. But they were never not expectant. Even in their weariness, They were still expectant. They were still ready. They still kept the lamp. They still kept the oil in their, in themselves. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every time. You know, we think the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 has been this one day experience, and it's great, changed the whole church, the church was born, and everything's fine. No, those people gathered regularly, and every time when they came together, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Sometimes they spoke in tongues. Sometimes they prophesied. Sometimes the room was shaken. Sometimes they evangelized. Sometimes, but the Holy Spirit's working through the church for those who want it. We need it. We need it daily. I need it daily. And we need to encourage one another in that. I think that's why we do the DNA. That's why we talk about the priesthood of all the believers. You know, in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones who served and ministered to the people of God. And they brought the offerings of the people to God. In the New Testament, we are all priests. We are all priests. We all need to be worshiping God. We all need to receive from the people. We all need to praise God. We all need to pray for one another, lead one another. And here's the thing. You know, I got a WhatsApp message this week from an old friend at same age as I am, which is very young. Why do you laugh? It was about an old man, a man 75 years old, who landed in a retirement village. And after 75 years, he wants to give us some rules of some things that he's learned from the wisdom that he gained. And this was things like this. He says, you know, material things are not that valuable anymore. That's a good thing. That's true. The other thing is, you know, we must value health a lot more. We must do exercises. We must do those things. And then he talked about your eating habits, and talked about not holding grudges, and talked about forgiving and all those things. How many of you get WhatsApp messages like this? You're not the right age yet. Huh? But it's going around. It's going all over. People want to share their wisdom that they've learned after 75 years. And I was thinking, yeah, it's nice. It's quite good. But then something hit me. Suddenly I realize people want kingdom life, but they don't want the king. People want the good things of life, a long life, a healthy life, a prosperous life. They want all these things, and that's promised to us in the Word of God. But we don't want Jesus. The moment you begin to talk about righteousness and truth and all these things, it says, oh, you're just legalistic. The moment when I tell people, come to church, don't let the world rule over you and determine your diary and your time and all these things. They say, you know, now you're getting too tough again. I should stop.
Make it worth it.
It's the time. Here's the last one. The last thing was, and this scares me, I do not know you. I think this is the message of this old parable. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Does he know you? We can do all the right things. We can pursue all the nice things. We can be active. We can be serving. But the bottom line question about you coming in, be welcomed into that marriage feast, is do you know the Lord? I felt I want to make room for people. Can we have music, please? I want to make room for people this morning said, I want to know him. I go through motions, I do good things, but I don't know him. Speaking to somebody in the week, doing wonderful work. There's always people knocking on your door. If you're a stable person, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, people are always going to knock on your door and ask for help. Maybe it's an ask for counsel, marriage breakdowns, illnesses, financial trouble, all of that. And they come to people who know. And we try and help them. And I tell you, it's a good thing. Let's try and help where we can. But we're not really helping them unless we introduce them to Jesus. We are just giving temporary relief. The true help, the true answer that we must give our friends, our children, our everybody that comes to us, and even those who don't come to us. Jesus is the answer. Jesus paid the price. Jesus laid down his life. Listen, if there were nobody else in this life but just you, individual, he would have given his life for you because he cares for you. But I think we need to get to that place again where we say, Lord Jesus, I don't know you. Won't you reveal yourself to me? Won't you just come into my life? I open my door because the Bible says he knocks. He's knocking. He says, if you open, I'll come and I'll feast with you. Friends, we want to build a church. We want to grow this church to be a light to the nation. We can do it through a lot of activity and being nice people. But it's not going to do it until we introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we stand and just let the music play for us? Maybe you can sing something to us.